That's not his plan.
I know, Bernie.
Give us seven people here.
Oh, I don't care about that. All right, let's go ahead and get the meeting called to order. We'll hold off approval of any minutes from the last meeting until we get quorum. So first item on the agenda is a resolution of Janet Kilpatrick, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Right now, let the record reflect Council Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Cartier, Diller, Retta, myself, Weiner, and Streets back there. So we've got seven. Can I entertain a motion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, good to go. First item on the agenda, Councilwoman.
Thank you. As you can see on the board up here, we have a picture of the West Hampton subdivision. This has been before you before. We are basically at recordation stage, which means that it's going to be a ministerial vote. So has to pass. We talked about that and how that leads to lawsuits about a million times just in the few years that I've been here. This has been vetted throughout the community, started with GATA a couple of years ago, probably 2 years ago. Mark Blake I saw come in. He's done focus groups with the surrounding communities, including Riblet Lane, which is not a community but just a private lane that goes on, according to that map, the west side of the property. Thomas Point is a small development. Oakwood Hills, another fairly large development. I know that this was brought before us several, many, many years ago under a different developer. We are now looking at the Blenheim Homes development. They've worked very hard with the communities. There is a inch or 2 inch thick book of deed restrictions. Some of the restrictions are joint restrictions that all of the communities would have to sign off on. Others are individual restrictions in areas that only affect those communities, such as Thomas Point has a section that are just individual deed restrictions for them. The communities have asked for things such as landscaping going up first before the construction, so they will have some buffering, and that has been approved by the developer. We've looked at the roads. McKinnon's Church Road entrance has been moved a little bit. Turning lanes are going in. There's safety improvements that are going in for places like Thomas Point that they would never have gotten through DelDOT had they not had another development going here. I don't go to focus group meetings when I have to take a discretionary vote. I go to the first one and I go to the last one so that I can personally say that I saw everybody and that they were okay and they asked their last final questions and they got everything that they have asked for. So unless somebody requests a presentation by the developer or Mr. Tucker, I know that the community is fine with this and that there is no opposition.
And of course, Janet, Councilwoman, you know a plan can't even make it to this agenda and be before this committee unless it's co-compliant.
Correct.
So that's
correct.
Just by law. Well, why don't we just have the attorney, Tucker, just maybe say a couple words or something and then see if the public has anything then.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, council members. I think Ms. Kilpatrick summed up the history very well and very inaccurately. We have been meeting for about a year with the community. We've probably had about a half a dozen working group meetings. We have representatives from all the surrounding neighborhoods, at least those immediately contiguous to us, and that has included Thomas Point, Mayfair, Oakwood Hills, Riblet Lane, and of course GATA has been part of organizing that working group with me and my client. There are an extensive set of deed restrictions we've entered into or about to enter into with these folks that we've gone over. Landscaping is important, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
Road improvements that go beyond DelDOT requirements, Mr. Sinetch has agreed to do to address certain concerns, exceed code, and we've given enforcement authority for the future in all these communities as well as in GATA. So we've been very sensitive to our immediate neighbors. We think we've done a good job of privately addressing their needs to the extent they exceed code requirements so that they have additional protections that they wanted unique to them. About 68% open space on this project. There are a lot of environmental constraints, but you can see we're next to a school, and that open space will complement the school as well as some connection trails that have been carefully positioned to address neighbor concerns regarding existing traffic, and so we're trying to address a lot of things for a lot of different people. And one of the things, and I'll just mention this one last thing and then I'll stop, because if Councilwoman Kilpatrick, we've worked hard, we got a lot of support here, so I don't want to waste too much of everybody's time.
Or change any minds.
But one thing that I really enjoyed with this group is, you know, it was neat for me to have different communities on different sides of the property at the same meeting, because different ones had different concerns. And what we were able to do was bring the communities themselves together to vet their own concerns and them recognizing that it wasn't necessarily a developer issue. Some folks were concerned about people walking one way, some folks were concerned about people walking another way from the school. Some of these communities were able to work that out amongst themselves and build consensus amongst themselves. And that's something I've never seen in a working group before, but it was just a good group of people, a good group of neighbors, and they all worked hard. And you know, I think when you do that, you can build consensus, you have projects like this that come forward without any opposition. Knock on wood. Thank you.
So, questions, members of council? Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And I might just add that there is a semi-historic house on here that has been saved. It will be readjusted on the property to accommodate everything that else is going on, but the house has been saved, as have the historic houses on just about every property that's being developed in this.
Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I just want to compliment Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Sean Tucker, your client, and the Land Use Department for working together seamlessly with the community to come up with a plan that of the focus groups. That's a good process. My question is the same as I always ask, and would you please comment on the bicycle pedestrian orientation, both internally and externally, and then secondly on the transit orientation?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, council members, Dev Sitaram with Karens and Associates. I'm the engineer for the project. Happy to answer your question, Councilman. There is internally, I'll first talk about internal paths that are on the property, and then I'll go to the external sidewalks and transit facilities that are proposed. So internally, we have sidewalks, of course, on both sides of the roadway within the project, as well as we have an interconnection, and I can show it to you over here, interconnection from the internal street to McKean High School.
Is that a multi-purpose interconnection?
That's a pedestrian pathway, not a...
The 10-foot wide for bicycles and pedestrians?
It's actually 5-foot wide.
5-foot wide,
yeah,
okay.
Five foot wide. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, as Mr. Tucker indicated, that's something that we discussed extensively with the neighbors as to where pedestrian connections will be provided from adjacent neighborhoods.
It's a safe route to school.
And it is a route that is currently exists where kids do traverse through the property. So that is what the neighbors desire it to be located there, and that's where we proposed it. So that's an internal pathway, and then walkways around the facility itself. We are proposing along McKinnon Church Road, Jim, if you could hand over. So on McKinnon Church Road, there are currently shoulders that are provided along McKinnon Church Road, which is used for bicycle traffic. We are providing, as part of the entrance improvements, we are proposing to widen the roadway, provide turn lanes that, as you can see from this exhibit, we are not only providing turn lanes that are into the right turn lane as well as left turn lane from McKinnon Church Road into our subdivision street, but we're also providing voluntarily, we're providing turn lanes from McKinnon Church Road into the neighboring subdivision of Thomas Point. And that was, again, something that was negotiated. That was part of the concerns that the neighborhood had. Currently, they are making turns from the existing tooling into the common point. So they were concerned about traffic that's coming behind them. So, and they're also providing a striped bicycle lane along the, wherever we are providing a right turn lane. So there will be a dedicated bicycle lane that is proposed as part of our improvements.
Will students be able to extend safely all the way to Thomas McKean High School?
From within the subdivision, yeah, we will. There currently is no, there are no pedestrian paths or sidewalks along McKinnon Church Road currently that connects into the.
But the one school. In the neighborhood.
But other than within the neighborhood, you know, there isn't one along on McKinnon Church Road. There currently doesn't exist one. So that's as far as the bicycle and pedestrian connections are concerned. With regard to transit, I think you asked about transit also.
Yes.
So with regard to transit, there are three transit routes that are close to the site. There is one that traverses, Jim, if you could pull up that the other exhibit which you, where you had the aerial photo. Thank you. So there is, this is McKinnon Church Road. So if you continue McKinnon Church Road about, I would say maybe about a half mile from here is the is Lancaster Pike. So there is currently bus service that is available on Lancaster Pike. So that would be the nearest transit stop for this facility or for this site. And then if you go south on McKinnon Church Road, you get to the intersection of Milltown Road, and there is a transit facility on Milltown Road, as well as there is a, close to Milltown Road, there is a Limestone Road, so there is another transit route that traverses Limestone Road. So those are the three transit routes that are close to the site.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, great, thank you. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I had two issues I want to explore. Number one, you say there are extensive deed restrictions of protecting this property.
Yes.
Do they run to the county government or are they private?
They are private. They are private. We are happy if the county council wanted to be a party or the county wanted to be a party. We're happy to do that, but historically we've been keeping them private because that's our understanding, that is the preference.
Okay, thank you. Now my question runs to the zoning and the density here. So we have an ST property, zoning property. How many acres is it?
We're at 40.7 acres. The density, overall density, is about 2.33 DUs per acre. So it's actually significantly below what you could otherwise seek in the ST, which is about 78 DUs maximum. And there's a somewhat of a complicated reason for that, but as you may recall, this was an Acherno property, and Acherno had quite a large plan for this site that involved apartments and I believe over 300 units. And my client actually bought the property from Acherno. So what we did was we looked at the density around us. We had looked at that old plan, which was 300 plus units. And so when we met with the community, we discussed matching the current zoning pattern in the area, and while the immediate neighbors are larger lots, there's also a lot of towns in the Pike Creek area. There's also apartments in the Pike Creek area. Coffee Run, for example, it's a short distance. And we talked about large lots versus small lots, open space preservation. And clearly the preference was, at the end of the day, with the working group, is that greater open space was more desirable over larger lots. And so we shot for a density that was consistent with the general density about a mile out, Councilman. I think it was about a mile ring, maybe 3 miles. And we talked to the department about that quite a bit, and I think we all reached a happy sort of median on what that density was. So it's the current S wouldn't get you there, because S you get to maybe a maximum of 1.3 units per acre. But ST at 7 dues per acre was obviously too much and out of character with the area. The ST enabled us to get over 1.3, but we throttled it back to 2.3 to be consistent with the neighboring communities.
So, for the record, you're far under your allowable density under ST.
Correct. But we did get the we did approve the ST rezoning earlier this year.
What percentage of the site is now open space as shown?
That's about 68% or 27 acres.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no questions for members of council. Seeing none, going to the public.
Anywhere? Hi, Mark Blake from Gata, Vice President of Land Use. Just want to say that this is probably the most intense project we've ever done. The focus groups were running a little more than a few weeks, as Mr. Tucker might have alluded to. We were actually meeting with one of four of the different groups about every 2 weeks for the last 18 months. So my wife loved it. I got out of the house a lot, which was great for her and the remote control. The issue on this was every neighborhood had something different to bring to it. Mr. Tucker's right. Everyone had a different view. We have Mr. Siemens, the architect for the landscape, and he was involved in almost every aspect of that because each community had different flora and fauna that they wanted preserved. And there's even a lot of mature growth and a lot of invasive growth that's going to be addressed here. And they're going to actually hand select some of the specimen trees and make sure they're preserved and also clean up a lot of the invasives that are in the site because it's frankly been unused and unmaintained for decades. And that's pretty important to a lot of the surrounding residents. I have to say, Mr. Shinetcha has actually set the bar very high. He's done a fantastic job of being able to and willing to meet with the communities at any time and address all sorts of issues. The walking path to Thomas McCain was actually following a path that had been established just because kids will find the shortest, quickest way. And they had to redesign and shift the buildings to allow for that. And by doing that, it also incurred some other costs. And I think it was no small feat for him to redesign this plan just for something as simple as a walking path. But in the end, those are the things that make the community look at this and say it's a good neighbor. And then they've really done, like I said, a fantastic job. Every aspect of this has been covered in these deed restrictions, and so much so, it's almost unusual. But if you look, when you see the exhibits, you'll see individual parcel numbers. The people were so pleased with it, they're actually willing to be an individual party to the deed restrictions as well as collectively for each community and Gata overall in case the communities disband over the years. But it really came out to be a fantastic plan. And again, the density is less than what could have been, and we were all fearing that original plan rearing its head. Thankfully, the county in its wisdom changed the UDC so that wasn't going to happen again. But you know, it's nice. And again, the historic home, we kind of look at it and go, it's nice to do that. And it's even better when the developer is willing to pay for that so it doesn't have to come out of the county coffers. So I would say to you that this is something that we've been supportive of all along, every community. And I will tell you, there was one gentleman that was against it. And I'll tell you exactly what he said, why he was against it. He wished he had been the one that could buy the land and do something with it. And that was his only objection. And he lives on Riblet Lane. And he was the only one out of the 300 people that we dealt with over the last 18 months that made that comment that he was not for the plan because he wouldn't financially benefit from it. By the way, he owns most of the land around there too. He likes to acquire. But this is a plan we hope you can support. We hope that it'll become something you can look to as an example of how to do it right. It's got plenty of open space, which we love to see anything more than 50% because it preserves the aquifer, and we all get our water from out this way. So anything we can do to preserve the open space, we support fully. And this has been put through every community. Gata took a vote. We support it unanimously, except for that one gentleman who decided not to. So thank you.
Councilman Moynihan.
Thank you. I just want to thank Gata and thank Mr. Shinetcha for setting the bar high and for all the work that Gata and you did personally. It makes all of us feel proud.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Additional questions, members of the public? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Second, George Haggerty from the Land Use Department. Just to remind you, this was a rezoning that you voted on some time ago. It was a ministerial record plan finalization. There were some conditions that were attached to the recommendation report. I would encourage you just to take a look at those. They're already part of the record that exists in support of the rezoning, but I just wanted to kind of remind you of those things. And I do want to say that this is what you see, this is a community consensus building project. It's a model that we're using and we're replicating in a lot of the projects that are going forward today. We'll be codifying some of that shortly as well, and some of the guiding principles and economic development, empowerment districts, and the neighborhood preservation districts coming forward for you in the future.
Thank you. Anything under other? Councilman Sheldon?
Not on this plan, but
for another.
On this plan.
No.
No.
Oh, we're another.
I don't think so. I just wanted the way he said it. I have two both sponsors, and I have Mr. Haggerty's here. This was brought up at two different civic meetings. The parking garage ordinance, is anything new on that, or because it was supposed to be like just some fundamental changes?
Yeah, there's been some changes.
Co-chair already?
Yeah. George and I. We're going to get together on that.
Oh, okay.
We're bagging or not.
So there is a time frame, so I can tell somebody else.
Depends on how much time he has.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's supposed to be administrative and stuff like that, and that's, you know, not too much changing. When we voted on it, I don't know. Maybe it's bigger than what I thought then.
Be silent. This could be a problem.
Yeah.
George Haggerty from the Land Use Department. Councilman Redd has asked us to take a look at that ordinance, and we're in process of trying to figure out the best way. I've attended the meetings and listened to all the comments that the various council members had about it, and trying to figure out a way to make it all happen. So clearly, there was a concern of making the approval process, the route for the approval process, different than what currently exists in the law. So we understand that. It's not something that we have got, I can say we completely got our arms around, but we're trying to figure out how to get our arms around it. Ultimately, it'll be tested at the will of the legislature.
Okay. Thank you.
So, but while I'm here, I do have another. So to give ourselves it, may I continue?
Does anybody have anything under other?
If I can give you just a quick version of the UDC process, and the reason I'm having this conversation with you is because we're in print as to what the schedule is going to be up on the web. We're going to ask to extend that timeline a bit further. In listing and vetting the different components of this, where you've got two or three ordinances coming through to you now that will be heard in December in the Planning Board and January for Land Use Committee. We've talked to the co-chairs and suggested that we probably have make available two Land Use Committee meetings to have additional discussions on that. While we're continually to discuss these items with the interested parties and the interested folks that are have concerns or have support for those along the way. The second component, the second phase, was the development standards and the healthy communities. And in making those presentations and having those conversations and having those discussions with the community members, what became abundantly clear to us is that we needed some more time to continue to allow the vetting process to go forward and to make sure that people understood. I don't think the ordinances are not ready and ripe from our standpoint, but they're in some cases, some of the discussions and some of the concepts, I think, lend themselves to being misunderstood. So rather than go forward and into a clashing of the ideas, if you will, we talk with the county executives and the county executive to have a conversation, see if he would be willing to support an extension of the time. We spoke with the two chairs, and we wanted to come to you all as legislators, saying we're going to probably extend that timeline. Generally, would be for phase two, we would be taking the next second calendar year, second, third quarters to finish vetting, fourth quarter, start to get them here. Same with the third piece of that. And then sometime in fourth quarter of 2016, finalize the two phases, development standards and drawing a blank here right now. Development standards and healthy communities. Last quarter, the first quarter of 2017, we'd probably be looking at some additional UDC revisions to this. So we'll put all this stuff up on the web time-wise, but before we did that, since you're the elected body that ultimately winds up voting on these things, we wanted to come forward and just have a conversation with you and tell you what our thoughts are. That's our read on what we're seeing with this. If you all want the fight or the lively conversation and discussions in your office, in your lap, we can do that too. But I think more time probably gives everybody a chance to get to more consensus. So.
Questions, members of council, from Mr. Haggerty, Councilwoman.
When you talk about more consensus, I mean, this is something that, are you talking the public, that the public needs to have more consensus? Because it hasn't necessarily been discussed, other than to say we're putting it off. It hasn't been a major discussion, including all of council, right? Am I correct?
Well, everything that's we've discussed is on the web and available to you in the
right.
fact sheets. So, I mean, if you want us to come in and talk about the various issues, we can certainly come in and talk about the various issues. We've had community meetings with, public community meetings. We've had focus groups. Many of you have attended the various focus groups and had conversations and discussions about those. You understand, for the most part, you know, the various points that we're doing. It's just our sense is there is a bit of unease that I think will be better addressed if we give people time to absorb the information.
Councilwoman Kovacic.
My fear, as we're sitting here talking about the parking garage ordinance, my fear is that just as the parking garage ordinance was never brought to us to have a discussion with council members, the discussion and the vetting was with the public, with the civics. Then you got in front of this council, and there were all sorts of concerns. So I guess I'm not understanding why, if we need more vetting, we're not bringing council more into this proactively. I mean, I've been to some of the discussions. I've seen the people that are there. I know what some of the untrust and unrest and all of that is. But this is the body that makes the decision to continue putting it off further and further because the civics are not comfortable with it. When you have no idea whether council is comfortable with it, I find a little strange.
Councilman Cardin.
I think the other problem that I have, and no offense to the department, they're doing a good job, but when you talk about the civic organizations of this county, there are huge swaths of this county that are not really part of that discussion. Okay, it's very designated people that get involved generally, and that's very upsetting to me, and it goes on and on. And like, you know, this county is very diverse, it's 400 square miles, and like when you talk about civic people having input, it's a very select group. And I can tell you, generally speaking, on these broad issues concerning land use in this county, the people I represent are hardly ever part of those large discussions. So, you know, it needs to come to the lawmakers. We're the final arbiters on these matters. And, like, of course we want to have civic input. But, you know, I think a lot of the civic organizations we know about are really kind of focused on very select individuals and not really inclusive in general civic life. You know, I can just tell you, I have a new civic organization to represent my district called the Eastern Brandywine Hunter Coordinating Committee. It's highly organized. They have regular meetings. Are they part of these discussions? Probably not. You know, Terry Wright is the executive director. He's a longtime aide to Joe Biden. Is he involved in these things? I don't know. You know, so just to kind of, you know, highlight the issue.
Could I just have a second?
You do.
So one of the things that we had sent out to everyone is, all the council members, is to please, if you have somebody in your communities that is, you know, active in participating in things, please let us know. We'll include them in the mailing list so that they can get out, because we want to try to get as many diverse thoughts as we possibly can on these various issues. Perhaps I should have been a little more clear and say, because the assumption was it's the civics that are holding this up. Well, I've got some conversations from the business community that are we're having a little conversation and discussion about as well. And so it's not just the civics. They're very vociferous, I will say that, but it's not just the civics. I think it's a combination of, we're still having some discussions internally about steps to take with these things, procedural processes to go through, and pieces of that nature. And when I see that conversation going on and saying, okay, we're not of one mind necessarily ourselves, we probably need to get of a better mind before we start moving this on forward to legislative passage. To, in terms of the question, or terms of the process of how do we keep the legislative body informed as to what we're doing, what the conversations are, what is taking place, every comment that has been made to us has been documented, and it's on the web page so that we can see so anybody can see any conversation, any issue, any discussion, including taking snapshot pictures of boards and showing that these are the comments that were made at focus group meetings and things of this nature. Every effort that we put forward, except for the process of this in phase two, the development standards and healthy communities, we have not finalized the enhanced fact sheets on these yet, because there is some discourse amongst our professionals about the steps to take for that as well. I think we deserve to get at least a place where we can do that. But I'm certainly open for suggestions as to how you would like this information to come in front of you in advance of this, or what these issues are, or you're certainly welcome to attend any and all of the meetings that we have or we conduct, or look at every document that we have. I don't know how to make it more public. If somebody's got a better idea, I'm certainly, you know, when I say I, representing the department, I'm certainly all ears for what we're doing. We have talked about in every plan that's come forward, it's had components of some of this stuff. I've tried to call out and say to you, these are components that you will be seeing coming forward. These are voluntary things that are happening. These are things that are taking place in the development process right now. You know, working with developers and working with projects that you're seeing pieces of and components of. So I understand that what happens is, when we get to this particular place, I understand what happened in the parking garage ordinance and the concern you had. You had a development project along behind it. In the text amendments, you don't have a development project waiting on the text amendments that would come forward. So if we get to here and you don't like what you see, you're not satisfied with what you see, you can table it, we can retalk it, we can bring it back, we can do whatever you want to do with it. I have great admiration and great concern that we're adequately representing your interest as well as all the other interests that we hear about on any given day. So I don't want you to think in any way, shape, or form we're diminishing your position. We're not diminishing your position. Your position is most important. At the end of the day, you get to decide whether it's something you can, you know, are satisfied with and you want to make it legislation, or it's something that we need to go to the drawing board and vote no. So.
Coach Arretta.
Thank you. As far as the parking garage ordinance, what we passed last time was for CSC to get it through, because they were going to leave if we didn't. And I stated on the floor to council after the meeting, to Councilwoman Kilpatrick and to Timmy Shelton, that we were going to work on a new one, and when we got it, it would be brought to council. And what I haven't done yet, so when we get it done, council will see it. until then, there's nothing to talk about on the parking garage ordinance until we get it finalized and bring it to council.
No, I agree 100%. I just don't want, we were under the gun. JP Morgan, we know when to build one.
Right.
Do they say, well, that 1,800 jobs?
They have.
They're leaving if we don't get this.
Well, they've kind of stalled.
Right, but I just don't want to be.
No, we're not going to. We're not.
That was pressure.
We're not going to be. We're not going to let them go. We're not going to let JP Morgan leave. Let's put it that way.
I agree.
But we do want to get this thing right.
Very true. Councilwoman Diller.
I was just going to say I hear your frustration, and what I'm trying to think is a way to have this discussion, and I'm not sure I understand enough about organizational design to figure out the best way to do this for council. Because I think what people are asking for is some sort of discussion. You've been in the middle of it, and I don't know if this is something that we could look to ways that other jurisdictions have involved their councils in this. I don't know, sometimes Councilman Weiner comes back with some very interesting ideas. I don't know if we're talking a workshop just on this. I really don't know at this point, but I'm hearing your frustration, and I would commit to working on some kind of a design if people will work with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure what the best way to do this, and I just don't want people's heads to explode over it, because then we won't have any good brains left, so.
We have brains now.
Councilwoman Kupacher.
And I get that, and I think that it is a process, and when you hold focus groups for every group under the sun, mm-hmm. maybe there should be an understanding that it has to be advertised, but maybe there should be a focus group for council, because I'm going to go back to the parking garage again. You didn't even know that there were council people that were extremely unhappy about that until you came to council, and then it needed to go through. And so here we are, 4 months later, waiting for it to be redone. I don't want to see that go with every single project, every single ordinance that you bring before us. That's some change in the law. So maybe our collective focus group is something that needs to be done. Because we're not all going to agree. But again, it's going to come down to mm-hmm. seven people, and that's the way it's going to go. But at least then you would have our ideas before you walk onto the floor to say, here I am, ready for you to vote on it, and your entire world blows up.
I hear what you're saying.
Or someone blows.
Well, our world's not going to blow up. We're going to continue on, and we're going to try to work, and we're going to try to be as accommodating as we possibly can be, and we're going to try to be as educational as we can be, and we're going to try to make sure that we gather everybody's comments. Everybody's comments, everybody's thoughts are important. Some of them are more difficult to listen to from time to time, and other ones are very melodic, if you will. But we're going to, at the end of the day, the goal is to get. So the UDC came into being in 1998, 16, 17 years. It was had been on the shelf for 5 or 6 years before that. Shelf meaning it had been cooked. It was an off-the-shelf product, to some degree. So that puts it at about 20 years, 25 years. A lot has happened in 20 or 25 years. The UDC does need some adjustments, does need to be, adjusted some way. Some people are of the opinion it's been adjusted so much it's become, awful. We don't see that. Every adjustment that's come in the UDC has come through the legislative process. And public process has been voted on by a very wise group, I might add. But I don't see that, except to say there are changes that need to be made. We've acknowledged that. We went out and tried to find folks that we think are very, very good at this, putting it together, better at it than we are, and we're certainly willing to share those times and those attentions and those efforts, and maybe we can. I hear what you're saying. We'll put some mind thought to it as well. We'll try to get back. Maybe we can just do topic discussions, and rather than say do you like this or do you like that? Just say, what would you like to see in something, you know, along the way? So when a mixed-use ordinance grows up, which is part of the development standards or the healthy communities, when a mixed-use ordinance grows up, what would you like to see in it? What would be satisfactory to you? Should it be 80%, you know, of want something, 20% of something else, 40%, 60%? How should it be? Should it be a confined area? Should it be, you know, traffic be important? You know, should we give offsets because they do, you know, they're capturing traffic and, you know, internally? Those are some of the things we're going to, that we're, you know, we're trying to talk about and trying to figure out.
Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. Been very good comments all around the table, and I appreciate the process that the Land Use Department has engaged in, including the consultant. Like others, I've attended the focus groups. I've gone on the internet and reviewed the links that has extensive information about this process, and it, in addition to your gracious offer responding to members of council to come and have focus groups with us, I think it's also incumbent upon all of us to go on the website and do some homework and spend some time looking at what's been done. But I think you still do need, I concur, to come to council. Not everyone is amenable to going on online to look at the information that's posted. We all learn in different ways. And not to be a contrarian, but from a legal point of view, I'm concerned that corporations like Corporation Service Company and Insight would be less likely to stay here if they felt that it was a political process rather than a quasi-judicial process on whether or not they're going to get a tiered parking lot in lieu of a sea of asphalt parking. So I'd be concerned about morphing it in a different direction that takes it away from the ex parte quasi-judicial members of a board who are barred from being lobbied politically, because the CSCs and Insights are not going to want to stay here. They could just as easily go somewhere else, including J.P. Morgan.
Well, the good news is they stayed here. The good news is J.P. Morgan brought jobs.
All because we had a quasi-judicial process.
All those things. Well, we had a process.
Yes.
So we had it at some point in time. You got to get to a place where you make a decision. I think Mr. Tucker will support that.
Jay does. I have Councilwoman Diller next, and then I'll have Jay.
I yield to Mr. Street.
No, because I have something under other after y'all.
Oh, not on the stub.
Okay.
Okay, then Sean.
I just want to make one comment, if I may, I'm not speaking for my client here today, but just in follow-up to what Mr. Haggerty was describing. I've been involved in many of these working groups that the Department of Land Use and staff have been involved in, and I do have to say their outreach has been very generous. I mean, I think it's even more so than when we all worked on UDC. Civic groups, engineers, land use attorneys, significant outreach, vetting the very ordinances that I'm talking about as much as I think could be vetted. I mean, it's and there's been multiple meetings, not just one. To your point, Councilman Cartier, there are four or five people, and we all know who they are, who will oppose everything. They will oppose all ordinances that permit any development, no matter how well-intentioned it is. When I deal with neighborhoods like I have with West Hampton, who are your average neighborhoods next to new projects, and you sit down, you can work with folks like that. You can have rational conversations with them. But there are four or five people that are associated with certain long-standing groups who are not interested in anything but opposing development. And that's their right. But we'll never change, in my opinion, we'll never change their minds. They will always appear in front of this body. And they will argue against all development, and unfortunately, you know, that will hold up things from time to time, I think, in our universe. But they're allowed to do that. But it is frustrating. But I think the department has done a great job in reaching out to as many folks and groups as they could, and I think they will continue to do that. So I just want to offer those comments. Thank you.
And to offer a couple quick comments, and then we got to get on to the other topic with Jay. But I will say, for one thing, George does a great job in seeing to it that a lot of the issues are dealt with before it ever reaches our table for this vote. So, you know, we've got to give him a lot of credit in that venue. And also, these meetings that they're talking about, council really needs to do their due diligence and attend these meetings, because they're out there, they're posted. George sends them to us. We just got a email from Chip about the one that was canceled. So they're doing their job about letting us know. So when these meetings come up, or we have these these focus groups or ad hocs or something, and they're posted, it's probably somewhat imperative we try to attend them. That way we can interject and talk about a lot of our feelings and concerns there. And then you also couple that with several of these community members that are out there, and they're saying things, so therefore you're in the same room when you're vetting it, and then hence probably helps George a little bit, because he's over there, and then he comes over here and hears 13 more different suggestions. All right, Councilwoman Diller, and then I'll take, because this is on this topic.
Yes.
And then I want to get to Jay, because he's waiting.
I mean, I really think that us attending those meetings are very different than the people sitting in this room who have to vote on something, discussing it, and having a format for the way they're going to have the information presented to them before they do the vote. Those are two different experiences. And so, I'm just going to ask Mr. Haggerty if he would ask his consultant if there is a way that they have worked with legislative bodies in the past. Just a simple question. If they haven't, well, then we're back to square one. But if they have some ideas, I just think it's worth a simple question. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Councilman Street.
Very, very, very briefly, but I have found over the years that the only way somebody knows that you truly appreciate something is if you take the time to say, I appreciate it and thank you. So while all of you have potentially contentious land use issues in your districts with rezonings and new developments and all that, my little district has unique issues like landfills, folks wanting to crush cement and burn out trailers. And in addition to everything he's doing with you, Mr. Haggerty has been very, very helpful to me in addressing those issues and problems in my district. I just want to publicly say thank you for everything you do, and you know, you're a good person, because I don't know how you keep up with all these contentious issues and then deal with folks who have problems that are kind of unique to me. But I appreciate it and respect your work, so thank you very much.
Anything else under other? Public comment? Entertain a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.